We're holding on page 54 in Ksuvos, about the middle of the page, middle of Os Gimel. We started learning yesterday about the brachos of about the Birkas Eirusin and Birkas Chasanim. Actually, the Gemara had focused on namely the Sheva brachos. We said you have to have a minyan for it, and we had two different lemudim for it for Psukim. So the Gemara continues on this topic of Birkas Chasanim, the brachas for a chasana, namely the Sheva brachas. Tana Rabbanan, mevorchen Birkas Chasanim beis Chasanim. We make this bracha or these brachas of the chasanim in the house of the chasanim. So meaning, in other words, when it comes to the chuppah. Tosfos elsewhere discusses, does that mean specifically that we only say them in the place where the chuppah takes place? Different Rishonim talk about that it may also be wherever the chosen eats is considered beis chasanim, even when the chosen is invited and then the chosen kala are invited out to eat by other people. And of course, that's as we know, we do that nowadays, that people have sheva brachas all over the place and you still say all seven brachas. Rabbi Huda says you don't have to wait until the chasana. You can also say all these brachas at the time of the Erusin. Remember, back then they did the Erusin and the Nisuin usually a year apart. Omer Abaye of Yehuda Shanu. However, Abaye says that's specifically in the land of Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can do that. Because in Yehuda, the minhag was that the chosin and kala would be in yichud before the nisuin. So we do the kedushin before the kedushin. Of course, they're also to be in yichud midrabanan. That we have the kedushin and nisuin back to back, both under the chuppah, and after that they go to the yichud room. In those times when they had the Eirusin and the Nisuin, usually a year apart, it was still also generally for them to be in Yichud after the Eirusin. They're still also to have relations, after all, until after the Kedushin. Nevertheless, in the land of Yehuda, the minhag was that they would be in Yichud together. A couple of a Mishnah and the Gemara discusses it later in the Perek. Rashi explains the idea behind it was you wanted to have libre gaspa. You wanted to have the chosan and kala pasha should be comfortable around each other, so that later on, when it comes to the Nisuin, they're not going to be shy around one another. The fact that they've been alone together, they haven't had relations necessarily, although it's conceivable they might during that time. And in fact, later on in the Perek, it discusses a halacha that results from that. In practice, they probably wouldn't, but nevertheless, at least they would have a chance to become familiar with one another in order to break the ice, kind of. The Yerushalmi actually gives an interesting reason behind it. We know when the Shvatim came to bury Yaakov, so we know that Esav came and protested, "I deserve a share in Maaros Machpelah as well. We both inherited equally from Yaakov, from Yitzchak and Rivka." To make a long story short, they had to go and fetch the document that Esav had signed over his rights to Maaros Machpelah to Yaakov in return for a huge sum of money that Yaakov had given him. Meanwhile, the Gemara mentions in Sota that meanwhile Chushim ben Dun saw what was going on and he didn't understand because he was deaf, so he gave Esav a zetz and knocked him down. And then the Yerushalmi goes on to say that he didn't actually kill him, though. Yehuda was the one who gave him the coup de grace. He's the one who actually killed him. Now, the Romans, we know, are always associated with Esav, whether they physically descended from Esav or whether they just have his characteristics, whatever the case, the Romans therefore held it specifically against Shevet Yehuda, this that he that that Shevet that Yehuda had killed their ancestor Esav. Therefore, particularly the Jews in Yehuda in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, most of whom were descended from Shevet Yehuda, the Romans had it in for them and would make especially harsh gzeiros against them. One of the gzeiros that the Romans made was the what the Gemara and Midrashim call in various places tibor lahegman tchila, that the rule that when a kala is getting married, she first has to spend the night with the local or with the local with the local Roman or with the local Roman official. Now the point is, in other words, like this: if she's never been with her chosen before, they don't have such a kirvas das, they don't have such a closeness, such a mental and emotional closeness between them. She might feel to herself, you know what, I don't really have a choice. I guess I might as well go along with it. Whereas if she's been with her chosen before, even if they hadn't had relations, that makes her much more, that makes her, she has much more of a mental and emotional connection with her chosen, so that she would resist such a thing and prevent and do whatever she could to physically prevent the hegemon from having his way with her. So even when the gzeder was batal, they still kept this minhag of being in yichud together before the wedding. By the way, so here we're mentioning it in the connection with the Romans. Actually, earlier in the Masechta, by the way, on Daf Gimel, the Gemara mentions that point as well. There was a period when there was such a gzera, which we, now like this, we learned yesterday that Basula Nises L'Yom HaRavi, that a Basula is supposed to be married on Wednesday, and her first relations will be Wednesday night going into Thursday, as we talked about it yesterday. The Gemara points out there was a period of time because of such gzeras when they had to move it to a different day of the week. Because otherwise, like this, the Roman officials would be watching on that night, knowing that weddings are usually taking place. So therefore, they had no choice sometimes but to move it to a different night. Also, by the way, in connection with the story of Hanukkah, a Medrash mentions that they had, that the Greeks did the same Gzeira as well in their time. And in fact, there's a, like this we know, the Pashtos, the reason why the Yerushalmi doesn't attribute the chain, the Minhag and Yehuda to the times of the Greeks, maybe just because in the times of the Greeks, the Gzeira didn't last very long. The whole period of Shmad that led up to the story of Hanukkah was relatively short. It was only a couple of years. Mashenka and the Romans, their shmodis lasted much longer. Be that as it may, there is actually a medrash. Now, like this, you know, we're coming up to Hanukkah now. Everybody knows the famous story of how the revolt of the Hashmonaim began. Matisyahu sees a yid, a meshumad, a misyavin going and bring a korban to a getchkan. He pulls out a sword and stabs him and yells out, Mila Hashem Eli, and so forth. There's another somewhat less well-known medrash that tells how Matisyahu's daughter was going to get married and this Zeta was in effect. So she's going to be taken by the local Greek warlord and forced to submit to him. So she goes to her brothers and she says, Hayitochen, you guys are strong people. Hayitochen, that you should allow this to happen to me. And so they hatch a plan. They go along with her to the Hegman's mansion as though like they're going to accompany her to hand her over to him. And then once they're there, they take the opportunity, they kill him and start the revolt then. So it comes out, you know, like this, when we say in connection with Hanukkah, Afhein Hoyu Ba'osan Nes, so we know it means that the shmad of the Greeks affected all Jews equally, and we know there was the whole story with Yehudis killing the general, but this is another aspect of Afhein Hoyu Ba'osan Nes, that the women were particularly, were affected by this gzera of the Greeks, and now when the Hashmonaim revolted and overthrew the Greeks, then they're potter from that gzera.
Started with Shimon Levi.
Shimon and Levi.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Shem. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so the point is, so again, the Gemara is saying that when Rabbi Yehuda says that you can say Birkas Chasanim even after the Erusin, even before the Nisuin, he's talking specifically in the land of Yehuda, in the southern area of Eretz Yisrael, where they had this minhag that the Chasan and Kala could be in Yichud together before the wedding, and conceivably they might even have relations then. So therefore, already you can say Birkas Chasanim, but anywhere else, no, you have to wait until the actual Nisuin. So the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa, Mavochen Birkas Chasanim, a Beis Chasanim. We make the bracha of the Chasanim, the Sheva Brachas, in the Beis Chasanim, in the place where the Chuppah takes place, or in the place where the Chos and Kala are afterwards. Or Birkas Erusin, Bevesa Erusin. Now we have a different bracha for the Erusin, for the Kiddushin, that's done in the place where the Kiddushin is done. So again, nowadays, we just do them all together, back to back, but back then, they would be separate things. So Birkas Erusin, my mevorech, what is this bracha of Erusin? Rovin barav ada v'rab barav ada tavayu mishmeder of Yehuda Amri. So Rovin barav ada, Rabba barav ada, b'pashtos, they were brothers. They both say in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the nusach of the bracha is of Erusin, the bracha of Kiddushin, is as follows. Baruch atah Hashem alekeinu melech haolam, asher kedishonu b'mitzvosav, you made us holy with his mitzvahs, v'tzivonu al ha'arayas, and he commanded us regarding arayas, that they're also to us. But also Lanus Harusas, and he forbade us to have relations with our Rusa, because again, until the Nisuin takes place, the Chosin and Kala are also to have relations. The Hitir Lanus on a Suis, and he permitted to us those who are married, Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, where they're married through the proper process of Chupa V'Kiddushin. So that's the bracha. So nowadays we say it before the Chosin puts the ring on the Kala's finger. There's actually a Machlokas Rishonim on that point. The Rambam holds you must say it before Kiddushin, and if you didn't, then you can't say it afterwards, same way as you can't say any Birkas HaMitzvahs after you did the mitzvah. Many other Rishonim disagree with that and say that you could. There's Bechlal, quite a bit of discussion. I guess let's first finish the Nusach of the Bracha as the Gemara gives it, and then we'll talk about a lot of interesting points that Rishonim bring about various details in this Bracha. So Rav Acha Brei Derava Masayim B'Mashmei Derav Yehuda. Rav Acha Brei Derava said in the name of Rav Yehuda that we have to finish off the bracha. Now we know there are two formats of brachas. When we say whether it's a Birkas Hananin, Birkas HaMitzvahs, Birkas HaShvach, we have two basic formats of a bracha. One kind begins with Baruch Atah Hashem, and you just have a line or two, and that's it. And then you have some brachas where you also have at the end Baruch Atah Hashem such and such. Take for example the bracha of Kiddush. Starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hasher Kedushanu Mitzvos Avodat Zabanu B'Shabbos Kodshei, etc. And it finishes off Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. And then on the other hand, we have other brachos, as we know, that you just say Baruch Atah Hashem and you have a line or two and that's it. So it's now Rav Acha Brei Derava is saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that the bracha of Erusin has to end off Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. That we bless you Hashem who makes the Jewish people holy through Chupa V'Kiddushin. Now, what's the underlying machlokas? Mandalei chosim, the first opinion, the two brothers Bar Rav Ada, who just mentioned the main part of the bracha, but did not mention the schasima, they hold midi dehava abirkas peiros v'abirkas mitzvahs. They say because it's a short format bracha, similar to the bracha we say on fruit, or the bracha we say on most mitzvahs. Birkas Hananin, for example, your typical Birkas Hananin. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bore Priya Eitz, or Bore Mina Mezonos, or what have you. You don't say a second thing at the end of it, Baruch Atah Hashem, such and such, because it's a short format bracha. It's what's called in halacha bracha ktsara. Namely, in other words, it's a bracha that has only one topic in it. So there's no need to finish off with another Baruch Atah Hashem. So therefore, so the first opinion holds that the bracha of Erusin is basically that kind of bracha. We're thanking Hashem for giving us the mitzvah of Kiddushin. So it's not necessary to end off with a chasima. Uman dechosim, the opinion of Rav Acha Brei Derava, who says that you have to finish off, he holds midi to have a kiddusha. It would be similar to the bracha of Kiddush, where the bracha of Kiddush on Shabbos is a longer format bracha. It's a bracha arucha. It's called bracha arucha or bracha arichta in the sense that it has more than one topic in it. You look at the bracha of Kiddush. It has two points in it, no, two basic points. Number one, that Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos. And number two, that Shabbos is a special holy day. So therefore, so now you need to end off with a bracha that summarizes the whole thing, the Kaddish HaShabbos. So therefore, so that opinion holds the same thing with Birkas HaErusin, that it needs to end with something. A lot of interesting things that we show him discuss about this. The Ran brings up a point. What are we saying in the bracha over here of Oso Lano Asarusis? Do you find such a thing? Let's say, for example, we have a bracha on the mitzvah of Shchita. Do we say a bracha that Hashem asked us Evam and Achai and he gave us the mitzvah of Shchita? No. We just say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Ala Shchita. Most other brachas like that as well. Why all of a sudden over here do we have a nusach where we're mentioning the Isur that Hashem gave us and that Hashem gave us a heter? And he explains, basically, the idea is, again, back when Kiddushin and Nisuin were done separately, in each one of them being, to a certain extent, a mitzvah of its own, deserves its own bracha. On the other hand, the fact is, the Kiddushin is not really the end of the process. Doing Kiddushin itself, you haven't really accomplished the full mitzvah. You need afterwards the Nisuin, you need Pruvu. So therefore, you have to focus on the fact. So you can't just say a regular bracha, asher kedushanu mitzvos v'tzivanu ala kiddushin, because that would imply that the full mitzvah is accomplished, the full thing is accomplished just through the kiddushin, and it's not so. Therefore, we have to mention these points over here. The Taz also makes another point about it also. He says, you know, we learned about this in Yuma, that the Jewish people in the Midbar were complaining about Arayas. They were complaining, here we were allowed to marry our close relatives before, and we find, for example, Yaakov married two sisters, Amram marries his aunt, etc., and now after Matan Torah, all of this is also for them, and they found that very difficult, and they were complaining and crying about it. So now we say this bracha. No, we thank Hashem that He gave us these mitzvahs. We're saying fakir. We want to stress the point in this bracha. We're not complaining about these at all. Adrabah, we accept the simcha that Hashem gave us these factors of the mitzvah. Then you have the point. There's detailed points in it also. When we mention that Hashem allowed us the nisuos. First of all, you have the nusach that the Gemara has over here is vehitulonos and nisuos, that Hashem allowed us those who are married. So there are Rishonim who pointed out, you know, that expression doesn't really say the whole thing. Does that imply every married woman is permitted to every man? Obviously not. Better we should say nisuos lonu, that Hashem permitted us as those who are married to us. And that's the nusach as we have it. That's the nusach as we have it in the Siddur. Then when we say al yidei chupa v'kiddushin, Rishonim bring an interesting idea from the Sefer Iter, an important sefer of halacha from the Rishonim that says, "What do you mean chuppah v'kiddushin? Doesn't the kiddushin come before the chuppah? We should say kiddushin v'chuppah." So the Iter gives an answer. The original phrasing was chuppah b'kiddushin, meaning chuppah that comes as a result after the kiddushin, because just chuppah by itself would not be enough. You need it to be preceded by kiddushin. The problem was that people said the word chuppah, being that it ends with a vowel sound, according to the rules of dikduk, a bays after it becomes a vase, just like you have in Chumash all the time. You have a word that ends with a vowel sound, the next word begins with a bays or a da or a chuff or a pay or whatever, then it becomes rafa. So people said it according to dikduk chupa vikidushin with a vase, and then people misunderstood that as a vav, and so it became chupa vikidushin, chupa and kidushin. So there's that. There's a lot of other interesting. And then why do we mention the point Mekadesh Yisro? Why do we mention that Hashem makes the Jewish people holy? Marsha points out over here, first of all, Bechlal, the whole concept of Kedusha is related to staying away from Arayas. Rashi mentions at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim that when Hashem says Kedoshim to you, be holy, means stay away from Arayas and other such things. So therefore, and we find even that part of that is the fact that an Arusa is also as well. The fact that Midrabanan, an Arusa, is still also Torah Chosen, is also part of that Kedusha that's of the Jewish people. Therefore, that is why we finish off Mekadesh Ama Yisrael, that Hashem makes his Jewish people holy with these special mitzvahs to keep us as far away from Arayas as possible. Marsha also points out, you know, we and Hashem are often compared to a chosin and kala. So therefore, the kiddushin between a chosin and kala is comparable to the kiddushin, the holiness that Hashem gave us as his kala. And that's also why the word Mekadesh Ama Yisrael go in the bracha over there. Okay, so that's the Birkas Ederson. Whereas, as I mentioned yesterday, there's an interesting machlokas among the Goinim and Uli Rishonim whether you need a minion for it. The halacha is that you do, as the Shilta says, even though Reb Shmuel Hanogid argued otherwise. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan mevorchin birkas chasanim ba'asara kol shiva. We make the bracha of chasanim, again the sheva brachas, with 10 people present throughout all the 7 days. Throughout all the 7 days of sheva brachas. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that would only apply that you say all the brachas only if there's ponim chadoshes. Different opinions among Rishonim, what exactly is needed to be considered ponim chadoshes? Is it somebody who was not there yesterday, even though he might have been there for a previous one? So let's say you have a person who was there for the wedding. Let's say the wedding takes place on a Sunday. So let's say you have somebody who was there on Sunday. Then he wasn't there for the Sheva Barachas on Monday. Then he comes for the one on Tuesday. Would he be considered Ponim Chadoshes? There are Rishonim who learn that yes. Or the Rishonim disagree and say that no, he has to be present there. He has to have never been present for any of the Sheva Barachas previously. Which is how we do nowadays. Tosfos mentions the point, which we're noyig, that Shabbos or Yom Tov is also considered ponim chadoshes. And there's an interesting idea that Amar brings, that also saying a Dvar Torah at the Sheva Brachos can also be considered ponim chadoshes. The idea behind it all is that ponim chadoshes brings a special simcha that you didn't have before. You have an extra person in adding in the simcha, and that causes a greater simcha by everybody who's present, the fact that you have a new person there, and therefore that makes it possible to say all the brachas that talk about the simcha of a wedding. So when you don't have any of these forms of ponim chadoshes, then you only say the last bracha asher bora sasa
v'simcha. The Torah has shivim ponim, right?
So yeah.
Is that the way you would learn out that it's okay for a devar Torah that you didn't hear yet, that's considered a...
So that's the point. It's considered ponim chadoshes. It's considered a new face because it brings a simcha to the people who are assembled over there that they've heard something in Torah that they haven't heard before.
Yeah, a little would be a new phrase, a new person.
No, so that's what we're saying. So it should be a new person, or Shabbos or Yom Tov counts as a new person, or that Amma mentioned that Dvar Torah would also count for the purpose.
Shirim
ponim chadoshes. Yeah. There's a cute thing I once heard in this connection in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, where he pointed out that, you know, sometimes you have the same expression is used in different areas of halacha, and you have to be careful to realize that nevertheless it can still have different meanings in different contexts. And he gives an example. For example, the Gemara mentions about when meat of korbanos noiser, for example, is burnt, it's called ponim chadoshes. It's called like it's a new existence. It's ashes instead of meat. But you're not going to say that in order to be able to say all sheva brachos, you're going to take a piece of meat and burn it. And that's upon him chadoshes. It obviously doesn't work. Okay. Anyway, So, my mevorech. What are the brachas? What are the sheva brachas? So the Gemara is going to give the nusach of six of them. The seventh one is the bracha bor priagofen. As we know by the chuppah, we say bor priagofen first, and then the other, we say the first six, and the bor priagofen at the end, and the chos and kala drink, and by the rest of the sheva brachas, we do the other way around. Anyway, so my mevorech. What is the bracha? Om Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says the nusach is as follows. The first bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shahako Borah L'Chavodo, that Hashem created everything for His glory. The second one is V'yotze Ha'adam. The second one is Asher Kedushan. The second one is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotze Ha'adam. So we'll talk about after we go through the nusach of them. Rashi and Tosfos and Maharsha have very interesting explanations about the format and the order of these brachas. So those are the first two. The next one is Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmoi. Hashem created man in His image, which refers to Adam Rishon. B'Tzelem D'mus Tevnisoi, with the image of the form of His likeness, because it was, a person is created B'Tzelem Elokim. V'Hiskin Lo Mimenu, and Hashem prepared for Him out of Himself. Binyan Adei Ad, an eternal edifice. Meaning, as we know, Hashem took a piece of Adam, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, and created Chava from it. And from then on, you have Binyan Adei Ad, it continues for all time that you have throughout the generations, that women are born from, that both men and women are born from men and women, and you continue generation after generation that way. And it all started with Chava being created from Adam. And we finish off now. That one already is a longer format bracha, so we end off with a second with a chasima baruch atah Hashem yotzeh ha'adam, blessed are you Hashem who forms man. The next bracha is sois tosis v'sogel ha'akara. The barren one, which refers to Yerushalayim, should be very joyful. B'kibbutz b'neho l'seicha b'simcha, when her children are gathered to her in joy. So it refers to, you have the pasuk roni ha'akara lo yolada, where Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael in general, and the Jewish people in general, are compared to an akara, to a woman who's been infertile and is very sad over it. She has no children, and now comes Mashiach and comes kibbutz Goliath. And all of a sudden we find out that, yes, she had many, many children. So we're saying that Hashem, we're asking Hashem in this bracha that she should have the opportunity to rejoice by Kibbutz Golias when all the Jewish people are gathered back to her. We bless you, Hashem, who makes Tzion happy with her children. We mentioned that point first over here because at this point we're already talking about there's a chosin and kev. First of all, we know whenever we have our simcha, we always have to mention Yerushalayim, imlay alas Yerushalayim, al rosh simchasi. And now that we have a bracha that talks about the Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmoi, where we mention the chosin and kala, then now the next thing is to mention before that, the brachas before, don't mention the chosin and kala. It's just Shehako Borel Chvoda and Yotzeh Adam. Now we had a bracha, Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmoi, so we mention the simcha of the chosin and kala, therefore the next thing is to mention the simcha of Yerushalayim. The next bracha goes, Samach to Samach Reim Ha'ovim, Hashem, may you make very, very happy the beloved companions. Which Rashi explains that the beloved companions means the Chosin and Kala themselves. Maharsha points out it can also mean the Shushvinin. You have all the friends of the Chosin and Kala, the Unterfuhrers. The Shushvinin actually has a meaning in halacha, a specific meaning in halacha. It means people who help with the wedding expenses. They used to have a system in the times of the Gemara where basically a mutual aid society where people would contribute towards each other's weddings and then attend the wedding. So the Shushvinin are all included in the Reim Ahovim as well. They should also rejoice in this. Just like Hashem, just like you made your creation happy, Adam and Chava, began Eden Mikedem. In Gan Eden Mikedem, where Mikedem has two meanings, it means on the east, as the Pasuk describes, that Gan Eden was on the east, and it also means in the olden times, at the beginning. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mesameach Chosin V'Kala. Hashem makes happy the Chosin and the Kala. And then the last bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bara Sosin V'Simcha, that Hashem created gladness and joy, Chosin V'Kala, Gila, Rina, Ditza, Chedva, these are all various words in Lashon Kodesh for different types of happiness, Ava V'Achva, love and friend, and brotherhood, V'Shalom V'Reyos, and peace and friendship. Mehera Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Ba'ora Yehuda V'Chutzis Yerushalayim, very quickly Hashem may there be heard in the cities of Yehordan and in the streets of Yerushalayim, kol sosin v'kol simcha, a sound of joy and a sound of happiness, kol chosin v'kol kala, the sound of the chosin and the kala, kol mitzalas chasana mechoposim, the joy of the sound of the rejoicing of the mitzalas means like the happy noises of the chasanim in the chuppas and the orim mishkan neginosam and the young men at their parties where they're drinking and singing, baruch atah Hashem esameach chosin im hakala. So those are the six brachas, and then we have Bor Priya Gofen before or after them, depending under the chuppah or by the sheva brachas, as the case may be.
The timing is good.
What? You're asking?
Yeah, it's like a creation.
Yeah, it's a creation. I mean, everything that Hashem created is a creation.
That's an emotion.
Right? Yeah, so we're saying, yeah, because after all, emotions are also created by Hashem. Hashem could have created us without the ability to feel sasin and simcha, and he created us with that ability. So yeah, so it's something that we can say, Ashabara, that Hashem specifically created it. Okay, so what's the idea behind the order and the format of these brachas? So Rashi explains like this. The bracha shahakol bara l'chvoidoi is not really Rashi explains the first bracha that of these brachas that really directly has to do with the wedding is asher yotzos adam b'tzalmai, where we praise Hashem for creating Adam and then creating Chava and then carving Chava out of him and forming her and then marrying them off to one another. So what's about the first two brachas shahakol bara l'chvoidoi and asher yotz and yotzos adam? Rashi explains like this. The bracha shahakol bara l'chvoidoi is not really so much for the wedding itself. It's more for the fact that people have gathered together, that Jews have gathered together there to brew a chesed for the chosin and kala, to be mesameach them. Therefore, we mentioned shahakol bara l'chvoidoi, that Hashem created everything for his glory. In other words, the point is that to the same way as Hashem did that for Adam and Chava, he was their shushvin, he was their unterfeer, he prepared the whole wedding for them. So the same way we're praising Hashem that he did that for Adam and Chava, and that now we have people that are gathering together to do the same kind of covered now for the chosin and kala. So that's the bracha shahakol bara l'chvoidoi. Next comes the bracha yotze ha'adam. So the vote is like this. First of all, why does that bracha begin with baruch? We have a general rule that when we have a series of brachas, usually only the first one begins with Baruch and the other ones do not. For example, the brachas of Shemana Esrei, only the first one begins Baruch Ata Hashem, and the other ones don't begin with that. Because the general rule is when you have a series of brachas, you usually don't need each one to begin with Baruch. There are many examples of that in davening and in benching and lots of other examples. So why over here do Shahakol Baruch Chavodah and Yotzeh Adam both start with Baruch? So Rashi explains like this. Really, in principle, shahakol bara l'chvoidoi wouldn't have to be said at the time of the chasana. You could say it when the people are first starting to gather together. In practice, once we have a series of brachas to say, we should say them all together. The same way as Havdalah, for example. In principle, Havdalah, all you need is the bracha on the wine and the bracha on mavdil. In practice, once we have other brachas that are going to be said, then we join them all one after the other. So the same way over here, we say shahakol bara l'chvoidoi during the wedding itself and during the sheva brachas, but really it doesn't belong to the wedding so much. So yotzo adam, therefore, is like a thing of its own, and therefore it has to begin with its own baruch. Then though, really, now, the only reason, now why are we saying the bracha yotzo adam, is because, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, there were actually two acts of creation that Hashem did with Adam and Chava. First, he created Adam, and then he created Chava, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon the different opinions about that. Therefore, we need two brachas, Yotzeh Adam and Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmai. But each one of them stands on its own, and therefore each one begins with Baruch separately. So Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmai is the first one that really directly refers to the wedding. Yotzeh Adam is really only there. If we're going to mention the second creation that Hashem created Chava, we have to mention the first creation as well. That Hashem created Adam, but each of them is a separate unit of its own, and therefore each one begins with Baruch. Then we come the following brachas, Sois Tosis and Samach to Samach. Those are part of a series of brachas, so those don't begin with Baruch, but each one of them is Yotzeh Adam, and those two are each a long format bracha because they have more than one topic in them. In the case of Yotzeh, in the case of Asher Yotzeh Asa Adam B'Tzalmai, it's two things, that Hashem created Adam B'Tzalam Elokim, and that Hashem carved out of him Chava. So therefore, it needs an end bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzeh Adam. The same thing with Sois Tosis for Sogel HaKara, and the same thing with Samach to Samach. So therefore, each of those is a longer format bracha, and therefore it has to end with Baruch Atah Hashem. Tosfos points out another point as well. It's not just because they're a longer format bracha. It's also because otherwise you wouldn't know where one bracha begins and where it ends. So like this, you have a baruch atah Hashem, and the end of each one makes it clear that it's a bracha. Then you have then the final bracha, the final bracha, ashabara sosin v'simcha. That one sometimes is said by itself. Again, when you don't have panim chadoshes by sheva brachas, then you would say only that bracha. Therefore, it has to begin with baruch, because it's not always said as part of a series. So that's the idea Rashi explains behind the order and the format of these brachas, why it is that some of them begin with baruch and others do not, and some of them end with a baruch ata Hashem and others do not, is based on these considerations. Maharsha explains further over here. A person is unique among all the things that Hashem created. A person has a guf and a neshama, first of all, which no other creature does. Second of all, only by human beings was the female created from the male. With every other kind of creature, Hashem created the males and the females separately. So we have the bracha, shahako baral chvoidoy, therefore refers to the kavod of a person, which is his neshama, that Hashem created us with a neshama. Yotze ha'odam is that Hashem created the body. And then you have that Hashem created Chava out of Adam and married them off to one another. That's the Asher Yotzos Adam Etzalmoy Binyan Ad that Hashem makes, that it's going to be an eternal edifice, an eternal construction, because it's going to continue for generation to generation, that you're going to have men and women and the species, the human race is going to continue. So that's the theme of that bracha. The bracha then, sois tosis, is again, so we're saying that Sion right now, that your Shalayim, Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Mikdash are all like an akora, like a sad, barren woman. But the truth is, there's a happy thing in it. Maharsha points out, there's Gemara in brachas, that unlike the other nations, which have people who wind up in Gehenna, we don't. So therefore, in a positive sense, the Jewish people are akara. They're like barren of people who are going to go off to Gehenna. This is the Gemara mentions over there that Bruya says this to a min. A min asks her, what do you mean, Roni akara lo yolada? If she's never had children, then what do you mean? She should be happy. And Bruya explains to him, it means that we don't have among us people who are going to wind up in Gehenna like your nations do. So therefore, that's what we mean over here with sois tosis for Sagal HaKara. When you Moshe Mashiach, she'll be really happy. But even now, she can be happy that her children are not going off to Gehenna. Then we continue with Samach to Samach Reyim Ahovim. So now we have in Golus, we don't have a complete Simcha, even by a Simcha Schos and Vekala. Nevertheless, we ask for the sake of the Simcha Schos and Vekala, Samach to Samach Reyim Ahovim, give them this complete happiness, Kisamechecho Yitzircha B'Gan Eden Mikedem, like the complete perfect happiness that Adam and Chava had in Gan Eden before even the Chet Etzadas, before anything. Give them a taste of that Simcha now, even though we're in Golos. Then we have the final bracha, Ashabara Sosin V'Simcha. So then again, at the time of the Geula, we're going to have a complete 100% Simcha. And then we have, and he explains in some detail over here, we have four kinds of happiness that I mentioned over here. Kol Sosin V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chosin V'Kol Kala. In a Pasuk, it also mentions those four, and it mentions, in the Pasuk, it mentions the fifth one, Kol Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov. Here in the bracha, instead, we have Kol Metzalas Chasana Mechupasam. And we're saying, in other words, that we should never give up in Golos. We might say, well, we're in Golos, we're stuck here, what's going to be? But we should realize that, no, there was a Sosin V'Simcha before, and there will be. That means it's possible for it to happen again, and it will happen again, and therefore, so we're praising Hashem in advance, and saying that even now we can say, Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, for all the Nisim that he does for us, and therefore, that's the fifth coil. The Gemara mentions in Brachas the famous idea that if a person goes to a wedding and is not Masameh Chos and Bekala, he's over Bachamisha Kolis, he's violating those five Kolis that it says in the Pasuk, and then if he's Masameh, then he's Zoicha to the five Kolis that it mentions in connection with the Torah.
You have to dance with the
chosin? I don't know if it means necessarily to dance. It means you have to do something to make him happy somehow. At least go over and say L'chaim to him, at least whatever, you know, show him that you didn't stam come in order to stuff your face.
Yeah, you give him a bracha and you smile.
So, yeah, you give him a bracha, you smile at him, exactly, yeah. So, I don't know if it necessarily means dancing. If you're able to dance, you dance. If not, then you do something else, but yeah. If you can light your hat on fire, then you light your hat on fire, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, one other interesting thing. Yeah, there's many, many other fascinating explanations of various nuances and details in these brachas. A couple of other interesting ones are, so why do we have the sixth and seventh bracha, the fifth and sixth, however you count them, bracha, both end with the chosin and kala? We have one ends mesameach chosin v'chala, and the other one mesameach chosin im kala. So what's the difference? One interesting explanation is that because only now when we said all you have like this, Masechta Kala, we mentioned yesterday, Masechta Kala, one of the Masechta Tanis, says that a Kala without the brachas is also to her husband as Rindirabanan, as though she was a Nidya. So only when we finish all the brachas, only then does she become mutter to her husband. So until then, we can only say that Hashem is Mesameach Chosin v'chala. Separately, Hashem is Mesameach Chosin and Hashem is Mesameach Kala.
Right, now, all the ones under the chuppah?
Oh yeah, now that we finish that last bracha, when we finish Mesameach Chosin Im HaKala, now the brachas have been completed. Now she and her husband are mutter to each other. Therefore, we can say Mesameach Chosin Im HaKala, that Hashem makes them happy together. Then there's also there's Maimorich Sidus that talk about the idea that nowadays by a wedding, you know, the kala doesn't say anything under the chuppah, right? The husband is the one who says Hareat Kodeshus. The kala doesn't say anything at all. She has no voice. But La'asid Lover, there's going to be Kel Chosin v'Kel Kala, and in a sense, the kala is going to have a higher level because Eishes Kael Ateras Baila, and she's the Kesser to him, etc. So therefore, we have one bracha that's Mesmeach Chosin v'Kala, that Hashem is Mesmeach Chosin, and also by the way, the kala, so to speak. And then you have later on Mesameach Chosin Im HaKala, that they're both on an equal level, as we're going to see more La'asid Lover, that's going to be that way. There's a mimer from the here now, you know, we just had Yudalib Kislev the other day, and we're actually still now in the days of Sheva Brachas after that. So we know there's a whole series of mimorim that the Friedrich Rebbe said by the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin's wedding, and one of them was on Ashabora Sasin V'Simcha Chosin V'Kala, where the question is why do we have Sasin? Why all the other expressions of Simcha go after the Chosin V'Kala? Gila, Rina, Ditzah, V'Chedva, etc. Why is Sasin V'Simcha placed before the Chosin and Kala? And the idea is developed that by having sasin v'simcha by a wedding, it shows that people have a sense of bittul and a sense of avas yisrael, and therefore that gives them the ability to truly be mesameach chosin v'kala, as opposed to if they were wrapped up in their own inyanim. If you put the chosin and kala first, and after that comes the sasin and simcha, then it would mean, in other words, that you don't have the complete ability to be mesameach chosin v'kala. So again, there's many, many nuances. We could probably spend weeks over here discussing and dissecting all the nuances that Rishonim and Achronim and Sifrei Chassidus and so forth talk about all the details in these brachas.
We have fun.
Well, there's also, I need to remember all of them, though. There is that too, you know. Yeah.
You have a good head.
All right. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogo'ola. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogo'ola Tes Zayin Kislev. So the Rambam famously describes what Mashiach needs to accomplish. He starts by describing what a person needs in order to be Chezkos Mashiach, that a Melech mi Beis David who fights the wars of Hashem and builds the Mikdash in its place. So what does Milchomos Hashem mean? So it means all the different wars that are on behalf of Hashem. That includes the war against Amalek. And then, as we know, as it was with the first Beis Mikdash, only once Amalek is wiped out, and then there's Menucha, only then the Beis Mikdash is going to be built, which is exactly as it was by the first Beis Mikdash. It couldn't be built until they had rested from the nations around, and here David thought that he would build it because he had defeated all of them, and Hashem sends Nasan Anobi to tell them there's still going to be more wars, and Shlomo will build it. So in the same vein, in order for the third Beis Mikdash to be built, it has to be that Mashiach wipes out Amalek, you have the war against Amalek, and they're defeated, and that's when the third Beis Mikdash can be built. Miyad Mamish. Okay, continuing with halachas of Muktzah. Suppose you have something disgusting around. You have human waste or vomit or other things like that, human or animal. So whether it's in the house or whether it's in a chotzer where people are going to be around, you're allowed to take them out to the trash. You're allowed to take them out to the trash, even though on the face of it, they're mukta. What use do they have on Shabbos? But the use is, in other words, basically that you're cleaning up the area. Now, what about, for example, suppose let's say you have a child's potty or something or something like that, a catheter thing or whatever. If you take it to spill it out, As long as you're holding it, you're allowed to put it back where it was. Same as we learned previously that any mukta item, while you're still holding it in your hand, you're allowed to put it down where you want. Now, we learned before, the Alter Rebbe had said that preferably, you, if possible, you should put it down right away. Only if you can't put it down there, then you can carry it someplace else. So here, in a similar vein, the Alter Rebbe says, ideally, put water in it, and then you'll have more of a heter to carry it to wherever you want. So a kid's potty, let's say they have it in the you have it, for example, in the bathroom. You go and spill it out into the toilet, and then afterwards the Alter Rebbe is saying better put a little water in it before you return it back to its place. Because it makes it not so much less disgusting, but it makes it at least there's a little more of a purpose in carrying it. So, after you put it down though, then because it's dirty and disgusting, then it would be considered mukta. And then in fact it's even worse. We have mukta machnas mius, we talked about before, a type of mukta, which is disgusting. This one is even worse because it's even more disgusting. So therefore, once you put it down, you wouldn't be able to pick it up again. What if you need it because of kovod abrius though? Let's say you did put it down and now you need to bring it back to where it was. Let's say, for example, you have a person in bed, then they need their catheter bag back. So then you're allowed to put it back. But and again, if you put water in it where at least an animal in principle could drink from it, then there would be more of a heter to do that. If a kid threw up, we're saying you're allowed to go and clean up the throw up. That's what we're saying. It's considered graf shorei. What we're saying is, if let's say the kid used the potty and afterwards you emptied it out and then you put it down someplace not where it's supposed to go, then you wouldn't be able to pick it up again unless mitrum kovod abrius. Let's say if you left it in the living room or something.
Put
a little water, and then you have a little more of a heter to move it.
Alleviate the problem.
Because then the point is, in principle, you can have an animal drink from. In principle, then you can have an animal drink from that water. Animals are not that finicky about what they drink from. A related din. If you have a leak in the ceiling, so then you're allowed to put a bucket or something underneath it, and when it fills up, then you empty it out and you put it back. Only as long as the water is clean enough that in principle you could wash it with yourself with it. If it's so dirty that you wouldn't wash yourself in it, then you can't put a keli there, you can't put a bucket there in the first place, because that would be called oisin graf shorei lachatchila. So it's one thing, for example, you have a potty which is meant to be used for this purpose and then eventually the kid goes and uses it is one thing, but to deliberately make a graf shorei, here you're taking a bucket and putting it there in order to be filled up with dirty water, then you can't do that. If you did put it, then, and it's in there and it's in the way, it's in the living room or something, then you would be allowed to take it out on Shabbos. So again, the related idea, in other words, you have something which is dirty and you don't want it around, so then once you're not supposed to do it lahatchila, but again, once it was done, then you would be allowed to take it out and get it out and then spill it out and get it out of there because kovod abrius is a very important factor. Okay.
Yeah.